The following title is called A Faithful Narrative of the Surprising Work of God and the Conversion of Many Hundred Souls in Northampton and the neighboring towns and villages of New Hampshire and New England, in a letter to the Reverend Benjamin Coleman of Boston, Jonathan Edwards. Editor's Note: This is a 1736 account of Jonathan Edwards of the revival in Northampton, Massachusetts, and the surrounding area at the beginning of the Great Awakening. Letter to Benjamin Coleman. Reverend and honored sir, having seen your letter to my honored Uncle Williams of Hatfield of July 20th, wherein you inform him of the notice that has been taken of the late wonderful work of God in this and some other towns in this country by the Reverend Isaac Watts and William Geis of London, and the congregation to which the last of these preached on a monthly day of solemn prayer, also of your desire to be more perfectly acquainted with it by some of us on the spot, and having been since informed by my Uncle Williams that you desire me to undertake it, I would now do it in a just and faithful manner as in me lies. Section 1. A general introductory statement. People of this country in general, I suppose, are as sober, orderly, and good sort of people as in any part of New England, and I believe they have been preserved the freest by far of any part of the country from error and variety of sects and opinions. Our being so far within the land at a distance from seaports and in a corner of the country has doubtless been one reason why we have not been so much corrupted with vice as most other parts. But without question, the religion and good order of the county and purity and doctrine has under God been very much owing to the great abilities and eminent piety of my venerable and honorable grandfather, Solomon Stoddard. I suppose we have been the freest of any part of the land from unhappy divisions and quarrels in our ecclesiastical and religious affairs, till the late lamentable Springfield contention. Editor's note: The Springfield contention relates to the settlement of a minister there, which occasioned two warm debates between some, both pastors and people, that were for it, and others that were against it, on account of their different apprehensions about his principles and about some steps that were taken to procure his ordination, end quote. Edwards goes on to say, being much separated from other parts of the province, and having comparatively but little fellowship with them, we have always managed our ecclesiastical affairs within ourselves. It is a way in which the country from its infancy has gone on by the practical agreement of all, and a way in which our peace and good order has hitherto been maintained. The town of Northampton, Massachusetts, is of 82 years standing and is now about 200 families, which mostly dwell more compactly together than any town of such a size in these parts of the country. This probably has been an occasion that both our corruptions and reformations have been, from time to time, the more swiftly propagated from one to another through the town. Take the town in general, and so far as I can judge, they are as rational and intelligent a people as most I have been acquainted with. Many of them have been noted for religion and particularly remarkable for their distinct knowledge in things that relate to heart religion and Christian experience, and their great regard thereto. I am the third minister who has been settled in the town. The Reverend Eleazar Mather, who was the first, was ordained in July of 1669. He was one whose heart was much in his work and abundant in labors for the good of precious souls. He had the high esteem and great love for his people and was blessed with no small success. The Reverend Mr. Solomon Stoddard, who succeeded him, came first to the town the November after his death, but was not ordained till September 11, 1672, and died February 11, 1728, so that he continued in the work of the ministry here from his first coming to town near 60 years. And as he was eminent and renowned for his gifts and grace, so he was blessed from the beginning with extraordinary success in his ministry and the conversion of many souls. He had five harvests, as he called them. The first was about 57 years ago, the second about 53, the third about 40, The fourth about 24, the fifth and last about 18 years ago. Some of these times were much more remarkable than others, and the ingathering of souls more plentiful. Those about 53 and 40 and 24 years ago were much greater than either the first or the last. But in each of them I have heard my grandfather say the greater part of the young people in the town seemed to be mainly concerned for their eternal salvation. After the last of these came a far more degenerate time, at least among the young people, I suppose, than ever before. Mr. Stoddard indeed had the comfort before he died of seeing a time where there were no small appearances of a divine work among some, and a considerable ingathering of souls even after I was settled with him in the ministry, which is about 2 years before his death. And I've reason to bless God for the great advantage I had by it. In these 2 years there were nearly 20 that Mr. Stoddard hoped to be savingly converted, but there was nothing of any general awakening. The greater part seemed to be at that time very insensible of the things of religion and engaged in other cares and pursuits. Just after my grandfather's death, it seemed to be a time of extraordinary dullness in religion. Licentiousness for some years prevailed among the youth of the town. There were many of them very much addicted to night walking and frequenting the tavern, and lewd practices wherein some, by their example, exceedingly corrupted others. It was their manner very frequently to get together in conventions of both sexes for mirth and jollity, which they called frolics, and they would often spend a greater part of the night in them without regard to any order in the families they belonged to, and indeed family government did too much fail in the town. It was become very customary with many of our young people to be indecent in their carriage at meeting, which doubtless would not have prevailed in such a degree had it not been that my grandfather, through his great age, though he retained his power surprisingly to the last, was not so able to observe them. There had also long prevailed in the town a spirit of contention between two parties, into which they had for many years been divided, by which they maintained a jealousy one of the other and were prepared to oppose one another in all public affairs. But in 2 or 3 years after Mr. Stoddard's death, there began to be a sensible amendment to these evils. Young people showed more of a disposition to hearken to counsel, and by degrees left off their frolics. They grew observably more decent in their attendance on the public worship, and there were more who manifested a religious concern than there used to be. At the latter end of the year 1733, there appeared a very unusual flexibleness in yielding to advice in our young people. It had been too long their manner to make the evening after the Sabbath. It must be noted that it has never been our manner to observe the evening that follows the Sabbath, but that which precedes it as part of the holy time. And after our public lecture, to be especially the times of their mirth and company keeping. But a sermon was now preached on the Sabbath before the lecture to show the evil tendency of the practice and to persuade them to reform it. And it was urged on heads of families that it should be a thing agreed upon among them to govern their families and keep their children at home at these times. It was also more privately moved that they should meet together the next day in their several neighborhoods to know each other's minds, which was accordingly done, and the notion complied with throughout the town. But parents found little or no occasion for the exercise of government in the case. The young people declared themselves convinced by what they heard from the pulpit and were willing of themselves to comply with the counsel that had been given. And it was immediately, and I suppose almost universally, complied with. And there was a thorough reformation of these disorders thenceforward, which has continued ever since. Presently after this, there began to appear a remarkable religious concern in a little village belonging to the congregation called Poskamuk, where a few families were settled, at about 3 miles distant from the main body of the town. At this place, a number of persons seemed to be savingly wrought upon. In the April following, in the year 1734, there happened a very sudden and awful death of a young man in the bloom of his youth, who, being violently seized with a pleurisy, and taken immediately very delirious, died in about 2 days, which, together with what was preached publicly on that occasion, much affected many young people, This is followed with another death of a young married woman who had been considerably exercised in mind about the salvation of her soul before she was ill, and was in great distress in the beginning of her illness, but seemed to have satisfying evidences of God's mercy to her before her death, so that she died very full of comfort, in a most earnest and moving manner, warning and counseling others. This seemed to contribute to render solemn the spirits of many young persons, and there began evidently to appear more of a religious concern on people's minds. In the fall of the year, I proposed it to the young people that they should agree among themselves to spend the evenings after lectures in social religion, and to that end divide themselves into several companies to meet in various parts of the town, which was accordingly done, and those meetings have been since continued in the example imitated by elder people. This is followed with the death of an elderly person, which was attended with many unusual circumstances by which many were much moved and affected. About this time began the great noise in this part of the country about Arminianism, which seemed to appear with a very threatening aspect upon the interest of religion here. The friends of vital piety trembled for fear of the issue, but it seemed, contrary to their fear, strongly to be overruled for the promoting of religion. Many who looked on themselves as in a Christless condition seemed to be awakened by it, with fear that God was about to withdraw from the land, and that we should be given up to heterodoxy and corrupt principles, and that then their opportunity for obtaining salvation would be past. Many who were brought a little to doubt about the truth of the doctrines they had hitherto been taught seemed to have a kind of trembling fear with their doubts, lest they should be led into bypaths to their eternal undoing. And they seemed with much concern and engagedness of mind to inquire what was indeed the way in which they must come to be accepted with God. There were some things said publicly on that occasion concerning justification by faith alone. Although great fault was found with meddling with the controversy in the pulpit by such a person, and at that time, and though it was ridiculed by many elsewhere, yet it proved a word spoken in season here, and was most evidently attended with a very remarkable blessing of heaven to the souls of the people in this town. They received thence a general satisfaction with respect to the main thing in question, which they had been in trembling doubts and concern about, and their minds were engaged more earnestly to seek that they might come to be accepted of God and saved in the way of the gospel, which had been made evident to them to be the true and only way. And then it was in the latter part of December that the Spirit of God began extraordinarily to set in and wonderfully to work amongst us, and there were very suddenly one after another 5 or 6 persons who were to all appearances savingly converted, and some of them wrought upon in a very remarkable manner. Particularly I was surprised with relation of a young woman who had been one of the greatest company keepers in the whole town. When she came to me, I had never heard that she was become in any wise serious, but by the conversation I then had with her, it appeared to me that what she gave an account of was a glorious work of God's infinite power and sovereign grace, and that God had given her a new heart, truly broken and sanctified. I could not then doubt of it, and have seen much of my acquaintance with her since to confirm it. Though the work was glorious, yet I was filled with concern about the effect it might have upon others. I was ready to conclude, though too rashly, that some would be hardened by it in carelessness and looseness of life, and would take occasion from it to open their mouths in reproaches of religion. But the event was a reverse to a wonderful degree. God made it, I suppose, the greatest occasion of awakening to others of anything that ever came to pass in the town. I've had abundant opportunity to know the effect it had by my private conversation with many. The news of it seemed to be almost like a flash of lightning upon the hearts of young people all over the town and upon many others. Though persons amongst us who used to be furthest from seriousness, and that I most feared would make an ill improvement of it, seemed to be awakened with it, and he went to talk with her concerning what she had met with, and what appeared in her seemed to be to the satisfaction of all that did so. Presently upon this, a great and earnest concern about the great things of religion and the eternal world became universal in all parts of the town and among persons of all degrees and all ages. The noise amongst the dry bones waxed louder and louder. All other talk but about spiritual and eternal things was soon thrown by. All the conversation in all companies and upon all occasions was upon these things only, unless so much as was necessary for people carrying on their ordinary secular business. Other discourse and of the things of religion would scarcely be tolerated in any company. The minds of people were wonderfully taken off from the world. It was treated amongst us as a thing of very little consequence. They seemed to follow their worldly business more as a part of their duty than from any disposition they had to it. The temptation now seemed to lie on that hand to neglect worldly affairs too much, and to spend too much time in the immediate exercise of religion. This is exceedingly misrepresented by reports that were spread in distant parts of the land, as though the people here had wholly thrown by all worldly business and betook themselves entirely to reading and praying, and such like religious exercises. But although people did not ordinarily neglect their worldly business, yet religion was with all sorts a great concern, and the world was a thing only by the by. The only thing in their view was to get the kingdom of heaven, and everyone appeared pressing into it. The engagedness of their hearts in this great concern could not be hid. It appeared in their very countenances. It then was a dreadful thing amongst us to lie out of Christ, in danger every day of dropping into hell. And what persons' minds were intent upon was to escape for their lives and to fly from wrath to come. All would eagerly lay hold of opportunities for their souls and were wont very often to meet together in private houses for religious purposes, and such meetings, when appointed, were very greatly thronged. There was scarcely a single person in the town, old or young, left unconcerned about the great things of the eternal world. Those who were wont to be the vainest and loosest, and those who had been disposed to think and speak lightly of vital and experimental religion, were now generally subject to great awakenings. And the work of conversion was carried on in a most astonishing manner, and increased more and more. Souls did, as it were, come by flocks to Jesus Christ. From day to day, for many months together, might be seen evident instances of sinners brought out of darkness into marvelous light, and delivered out of an horrible pit and from the miry clay, and set upon a rock with a new song of praise to God in their mouths. This work of God, as it was carried on, and a number of true saints multiplied, it soon made a glorious alteration in the town, so that in the spring and summer following, in the year 1735, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God. It never was so full of love, nor of joy, and yet so full of distress, as it was then. There were remarkable tokens of God's presence in almost every house. It was a time of joy in families on account of salvation being brought to them, parents rejoicing over their children as newborn, and husbands over their wives, and wives over their husbands. The doings of God were then seen in His sanctuary. God's day was a delight, and His tabernacles were amiable. Our public assemblies were then beautiful. The congregation was alive in God's service, everyone earnestly intent on the public worship, every hearer eager to drink in the words of the minister as they came from his mouth. The assembly in general were from time to time in tears while the word was preached, some weeping with sorrow and distress, others with joy and love, others with pity and concern for the souls of their neighbors. Our public praises were then greatly enlivened. God was then served in our psalmody in some measure in the beauty of holiness. It has been observable that there has been scarce any part of divine worship wherein good men amongst us have had grace so drawn forth, and their hearts so lifted up in the ways of God, as in singing His praises. Our congregation excelled all that ever I knew in the external part of the duty before. The men generally carrying regularly and well three parts of music, and the women a part by themselves, but now they were evidently wont to sing with unusual elevation of heart and voice, which made the duty pleasant indeed. In all companies, on other days, on whatever occasions persons met together, Christ was to be heard of and seen in the midst of them. Our young people, when they met, were wont to spend a time in talking of the excellency and dying love of Jesus Christ, the glory of the way of salvation, the wonderful free and sovereign grace of God, His glorious work in the conversion of a soul, the truth and certainty of the great things of God's Word, the sweetness of the views of His perfections, and so on. And even at weddings, which formerly were mere occasions of mirth and jollity, there was now no discourse of anything but religion, and no appearance of any spiritual mirth. Those amongst us who had been formerly converted were greatly enlivened and renewed with fresh and extraordinary incomes of the Spirit of God, though some much more than others, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Many who before had labored under difficulties about their own state had now their doubts removed by more satisfying experience and more clear discoveries of God's love. When this work first appeared and was so extraordinarily carried on amongst us in the winter, others round about us seemed not to know what to make of it. Many scoffed at and ridiculed it, and some compared what we call conversion to certain distempers. But it was very observable of many who had occasionally came amongst us from abroad with disregardful hearts, that what they saw here cured them of such a temper of mind. Strangers were generally surprised to find things so much beyond what they had heard, and were wont to tell others that the state of the town could not be conceived of by those who had not seen it. The notice that was taken of it by the people who came to town on occasion of the court that sat here in the beginning of March was very observable, and those who came from the neighborhood to our public lectures were for the most part remarkably affected. Many who came to town on one occasion or other had their consciences smitten and awakened and went home with wounded hearts, and with those impressions that never wore off till they had hopefully a saving issue. And those who before had serious thoughts had their awakenings and convictions greatly increased. There were many instances of persons who came from abroad on visits or on business who had not long been here before. To all appearances they were savingly wrought upon and partook of that shower of divine blessing which God rained down here, and went home rejoicing, till at length the same work began evidently to appear and prevail in several other towns in the county. In the month of March, the people in South Hadley began to be seized with deep concern about the things of religion, which very soon became universal. The work of God has been very wonderful there, not much if anything short of what has been here, in proportion to the size of the place. About the same time it began to break forth in the west part of Suffield, where it also has been very great and soon spread into all parts of the town. It appeared at Sunderland and soon overspread the town, and I believe was for a season not less remarkable than it was here. About the same time it began to appear in a part of Deerfield called Green River, and afterwards filled the town. And there has been a glorious work there. It began also to be manifest in the south part of Hatfield in a place called The Hill, and the whole town in the second week in April seemed to be seized, as it were, at once, with concern about the things of religion, and the work of God has been great there. There has been also a very general awakening at West Springfield and Long Meadow, and in Enfield there was for a time a pretty general concern among some who before had been very loose persons. About the same time that this appeared in Enfield, the Reverend Josiah Bull of Westfield informed me that there had been a great alteration there, and that more had been done in 1 week than in 7 years before. Something of this work likewise appeared in the first precinct in Springfield, principally in the north and south extremes of the parish, and in Hadley, Old Town. There gradually appeared so much of a work of God on souls as at another time would have been thought worthy of much notice. For a short time there was also a very great and general concern of the like nature at Northfield, and wherever this concern appeared it seemed not to be in vain. But in every place God brought saving blessings with him, and his word attended with his spirit, as we have all reason to think, and it returned not void. It might well be said at that time in all parts of the county, "Who are these that flies a cloud and its doves to their windows?" as what other towns heard of and found in this was a great means of awakening them. So our hearing of such a swift and extraordinary propagation and extent of this work did doubtless for a time serve to uphold the work amongst us. The continual news kept alive the talk of religion, and did greatly quicken and rejoice the hearts of God's people, and much awakened those who looked on themselves as still left behind, and made them the more earnest that they also might share in the great blessings that others had obtained. This remarkable pouring out in the Spirit of God, which thus extended from one end to the other of this county, was not confined to it, but many places in Connecticut have partaken in the same mercy. For instance, the first parish in Windsor, under the pastoral care of the Reverend Mr. Marsh, was thus blessed about the same time as we in Northampton, while we had no knowledge of each other's circumstances. There has been a very great ingathering of souls to Christ in that place, and something considerable of the same work began afterwards in East Windsor, my honored father's parish, which has in times past been a place favored with mercies of this nature above any on the western side of New England, excepting Northampton. There haven't been 4 or 5 seasons of the pouring out of the Spirit to the general awakening of the people there, since my father's settlement amongst them. There was also the last spring and summer a wonderful work of God carried on at Coventry, under the ministry of the Reverend Mr. Mayakum. I had opportunity to converse with some Coventry people who gave me a very remarkable account of the surprising change that appeared in the most rude and vicious persons there. The like was also very great at the same time in a part of Lebanon called the Crank, where the Reverend Eliezer Wheelock, a young gentleman, is lately settled, and there has been much of the same at Durham under the ministry of Reverend Mr. Chauncey, and to appearance no small in gathering of souls there. Likewise, amongst many of the young people in the first precinct at Stratford, under the ministry of the Reverend Mr. Gould, where the work was much promoted by the remarkable conversion of a young woman who had been a great company keeper, as it was here. Something of this work appeared in several other towns in those parts, as I was informed when I was there the last fall, and we have since been acquainted with something very remarkable of this nature at another parish in Stratford called Ripton, under the pastoral care of the Reverend Mr. Mills. There was a considerable revival of religion last summer at New Haven, Old Town, as I was once and again informed by the Reverend Mr. Noyes, the minister there, and by others, and by a letter which I very lately received from Mr. Noyes, and also by information we have had other ways. This flourishing of religion still continues, and has lately much increased. Mr. Noyes writes that many this summer have been added to the church, and particularly mentions several young persons that belong to the principal families of that town. There has been a degree of the same work at a part of Guildford, and very considerable at Mansfield under the ministry of the Reverend Mr. Eliezer Williams, and an unusual religious concern at Tolland, and something of it in Hebron and Bolton. There was also no small effusion of the Spirit of God in the North Parish in Preston in the eastern part of Connecticut, of which I was informed and saw something when I was the last autumn at the house, and in the congregation of the Reverend Mr. Lord, the minister there, who, with the Reverend Mr. Owen of Groton, came up here in May, the last year on purpose to see the work of God. Having heard various and contradictory accounts of it, they were careful when here to satisfy themselves, and to that end particularly converse with many of our people, which they declare to be entirely to their satisfaction, and that one half had not been told them, nor could be told them. Mr. Lord told me that when he got home he informed his congregation of what he had seen, and that they were greatly affected with it, and that it proved the beginning of the same work amongst them, which prevailed till there was a general awakening in many instances of persons who seemed to be remarkably converted. I also have lately heard that there was been something of the work at Woodbury. But the shower of divine blessing has been yet more extensive. There was no small degree of it in some part of the Jerseys, as I was informed when I was at New York, in a long journey I took at that time of the year for my health, by some people of the Jerseys whom I saw, especially the Reverend Mr. William Tennant, a minister who seemed to have such things at heart, told me of a very great awakening of many in a place called the Mountains, under the ministry of one Mr. Cross, and of a very considerable revival of religion in another place under the ministry of his brother, the Reverend Gilbert Tennant, and also at another place under the ministry of a very pious young gentleman, a Dutch minister whose name, as I remember, was Theodore Frelinghuis. This seems to have been a very extraordinary dispensation of Providence. God has in many respects gone out of and much beyond his usual and ordinary way. The work in this town and others about us has been extraordinary on account of the universality of it, affecting all sorts, sober and vicious, high and low, rich and poor, wise and unwise. I reached the most considerable families and persons to all appearance as much as others. In former stirrings of this nature, the bulk of the young people have been greatly affected, but old men and little children have been so now. Many of the last have, of their own accord, formed themselves into religious societies in different parts of the town. A loose, careless person could scarcely be found in the whole neighborhood, and if there was any one that seemed to remain senseless or unconcerned, it would be spoken of as a strange thing. This dispensation has also appeared very extraordinary in the numbers of those on whom we have reason to hope it has had a saving effect. We have about 620 communicants, which include almost all our adult persons. The church was very large before, but persons never thronged into it as they did in a late, extraordinary time. Our sacraments are 8 weeks asunder, and I received into our communion about 100 before one sacrament, 80 of them at one time, whose appearance, when they presented themselves together to make an open, explicit profession of Christianity, was very affecting to the congregation. I took in near 60 before the next sacrament day, and I have very sufficient evidence of the conversion of their souls through divine grace, so it is not the custom here, as it is in many other churches in this country, to make a credible relation of their inward experiences the ground of admission to the Lord's Supper. I am far from pretending to be able to determine how many have lately been the subjects of such mercy, but if I may be allowed to declare anything that appears to me probable in a thing of this nature, I hope that more than 300 souls were savingly brought home to Christ in this town in a space of half a year, and about the same number of males as females. By what I have heard Solomon's daughter say, this was far from what has been usual in years past, for he observed that in his time many more women were converted than men. Those of our young people who are on the other accounts most considerable are mostly, as I hope, truly pious and leading persons in the ways of religion. Those who were formerly loose young persons are generally, to all appearance, become true lovers of God and Christ and spiritual in their dispositions. I hope that by far the greater part of persons in this town above 16 years of age are such as have the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. By what I have heard, I suppose it is so in some other places, particularly at Sunderland and South Hadley. This has also appeared to be a very extraordinary dispensation, and that the Spirit of God has so much extended not only his awakening, but regenerating influence, both to elderly persons and also to those who are very young. It has been heretofore rarely heard of that any were converted past middle age, but now we have the same ground to think that many such have at this time been savingly changed, as that others have been so in many more early years. I suppose there were upwards of 50 persons converted in this town above 40 years of age, more than 20 of them above 50, about 10 of them above 60, and 2 of them above 70 years of age. It has heretofore been looked on as a strange thing, when any have seemed to be savingly brought upon and remarkably changed in their childhood. But now I suppose near 30 were to appearance savingly wrought upon between 10 and 14 years of age, 2 between 9 and 10, and 1 of about 4 years of age. And because I suppose this last case will be with most difficulty believed, I will hereafter give a particular account of it. The influences of God's Holy Spirit have also been very remarkable on children in some other places, particularly at Sunderland, South Hadley, in the west part of Suffield. There are several families in this town who are all hopefully pious. Yea, there are several numerous families in which I think we have reason to hope that all the children are truly godly, and most of them lately become so. There are very few houses in the whole town into which salvation has not lately come, in one or more instances. There are several Negroes who, from what was seen in them then, and what is discernible in them since, appear to have been truly born again in the late remarkable season. God has also seemed to have gone out of his usual way in the quickness of his work, in the swift progress his Spirit has made in his operations on the hearts of many. It is wonderful that persons should be so suddenly, and yet so greatly changed. Many have been taken from a loose and careless way of living and seized with strong convictions of their guilt and misery. And in a very little time, old things have passed away and all things have become new with them. God's work has also appeared very extraordinary in the degrees of his influences, in the degrees both of awakening and conviction and also of saving light, love, and joy that many have experienced. It has also been very extraordinary in the extent of it, and its being so swiftly propagated from town to town. Though in some of them it was very remarkable, it reached no further than the neighboring towns all around continued unmoved. This work seemed to be at its greatest height in this town in the former part of the spring, in March and April. At that time God's work in the conversion of souls was carried on amongst us in so wonderful a manner that, so far as I can judge, it appears to have been at the rate of at least 4 persons in a day, or near 30 in a week, take one with another for 5 or 6 weeks together, when God in so remarkable a manner took the work into his own hands. There was as much done in a day or two, as in ordinary times with all endeavors that men can use, and with such a blessing as we commonly have, is done in a year. I am very sensible how apt many would be if they should see the account I have here given presently to think with themselves that I am very fond of making a great many converts and of magnifying the matter, and to think that for lack of judgment I take every religious pang and enthusiastic conceit for saving conversion. I do not much wonder if they should be apt to think so. And for this reason I have forborne to publish an account of this great work of God, though I have often been solicited to it. But having now a special call to give an account of it upon mature consideration, I thought it might not be beside my duty to declare this amazing work, as it appeared to me to be indeed divine, and to conceal no part of the glory of it, leaving it with God to take care of the credit of his own work, and running the venture of any censorious thoughts which might be entertained of me to my disadvantage. The distant persons may be under as great advantage as may be to judge for themselves of this manner. I would be a little more large and particular. Jonathan Edwards. End of section 1.